The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on listener-supported KDLG. I'm Molly Dishner. It's July 16th and the fish keep coming. Yesterday, Bristol Bay fishermen hauled in 2.3 million sockeye. Coming up, Fish and Game's Chuck Brazil says catches are particularly strong for this time of year. Kodiak's Laney Welch says salmon market chatter has been quiet this summer. Plus, a state seafood employment specialist talks about the circumstances that have left processors looking for workers. But first, a look at your marine weather forecast. Looking out the window here in Dillingham, it's pretty blustery. More of that expected on the water. For Bristol Bay tonight, southwest wind at 20 knots and seas at 4 feet. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, southwest wind at 20 knots. Saturday and Saturday night, calms down a little to west wind at 15 knots. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight, southwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. Friday, southwest wind at 20 knots and seas at 6 feet. Friday night, west wind 20 knots and seas at 5 feet. Now let's run through the numbers. The Baywide total catch yesterday was 2.3 million sockeye, bringing the season total to 27.1 million. The total run is now estimated at about 39 million fish. Igigik fishermen landed 329,000 sockeye, season total 6.7 million. Ugashik fishermen caught 268,000, season total 4.1 million. And Naknak Quidjack caught 1.4 million, season total 11 million. Nooshigak fishermen caught 297,000 fish, season total 4.6 million, and in Togiak, 2,000 reds landed, season total about 94,000. Looking at the sockeye per delivery, Ugashik 1,310, Igigik 782, Naknak Quidjack 869, Nooshigak 755, and Togiak 93. Now let's look at the escapements. On the Igigik River, 86,000 fish counted yesterday, season total 1.5 million. Ugashik, 45,000, season total 813,000. Naknak, 71,000, season total 1.5 million. Quidjack, 374,000, season total 4.8 million. At the Nooshigak sonar yesterday, 757 kings counted, season total 96,000. Sockeye counted there yesterday, 29,000, bringing the total to almost 700,000. At the Wood River Tower, 63,000 reds counted yesterday, season total 1.5 million. At Igushik, about 21,000 reds counted, season total 264,000. And Togiak, 3,200 reds counted yesterday, season total about 15,000. Now the boat counts. Naknak Quidjack, 991 permits on 817 boats. Igigik, 260 permits on 218 boats. Nooshigak, 209 permits on 181 boats. Ugashik, 226 permits on 179 boats. Togiak, 52 permits, 52 boats. Today's the last day with a wait for the Nooshigak and Ugashik districts. As of 9 a.m. tomorrow, fishermen can start fishing in those districts at any time. Naknak, Quidjack, and Igigik districts opened up earlier this week. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
If the catches lately seem high for this point in July, that's because they are. Fish and Game's Bristol Bay Area Research Biologist Chuck Brazil says the harvest the past couple days have been record-setting in the Naknak Quidjack District.
Well, the last couple of days of harvest in the Naknek Klejek District have been the largest harvest to date. From July 11th through July 15th, we've experienced record-breaking harvest in the Naknek Klejek District.
Nooshiegak District Area Manager Tim Sands says his district has seen some big days too, although they would have been higher without other constraints.
On the 12th, 301,000 beat out the previous record from 1986. And then on the 15th was also a record that was better than the 94, looks like.
Back to Chuck Brazil, who says he hasn't crunched the numbers for the entire Baywide catch, but those look strong too.
I would suspect that these are going to be some of the largest catches to date for this run, and probably likely historically as well.
Brazil says the total run is turning into something, quote, epic and unusual for a late run.
There's a lot of variation annually for run timing among all the districts within the Bay, but this year just seems to be really anomalous when compared to all years, so it's a very intriguing season. Right now I'm looking at, you know, the data set, and it's telling me that, you know, we're going to have a run that's going to push in the high upper 40s and may even be right at forecast.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back in a moment. Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio has covered fisheries from Kodiak for about 30 years. Earlier today, I spoke with her about the fisheries underway throughout the state, and I asked what she's been hearing about the sockeye market. She says that usually by this point in the summer, media outlets around the country and abroad are sharing price rumors, but this season has been much quieter.
A whole lot of nothing, to be perfectly frank. In all of the reports that I track, you know, throughout Europe, Japan, everywhere, people are just waiting to see what happens with this long tail of fish at Bristol Bay. Before they make any buying decisions. I hear in the nearly 30 years that I've been on the fish beat, this is the quietest I've ever heard about fish prices, coming from the processors, you know, this late into the season.
Wow.
I mean, there's radio chatter. There's, you know, reports I hear from tenders and, from fishermen and things like that. But just now, prices are starting to trickle in. Postings, for example. I heard today that a major at Prince William Sound posted 20 cents for pinks. 17 million pinks already at Prince William Sound. Those guys there have had several million or up to 2 million fish days like you.
Are you hearing any sockeye rumors, either from Bristol Bay or elsewhere in the state?
Well, I've heard unconfirmed for prior to the fishery even opening that the bay was likely to be a base price of 65 cents. Now, this was before this whole, you know, sort of freakish permutation the run has taken happened. But plus 15 cent bonuses for chilled fish, you know, and other agreements that the fishermen might have with their respective processors. But I know same in Kodiak, 80 cents here for reds was a base. That might change, though, because Kodiak, the entire fishery, is not even at 3 million fish.
In the time that you've followed the fisheries in Alaska, how common is it maybe for prices to change from the preseason rumor to the postseason shakeout when the run is weirder or different than what's predicted?
Oh, it can be all over the place. A lot of variance. You know, again, we're dealing in a global market, and as I and other, you know, market watchers have been talking about for 6 months, one of the biggest factors coming into play for the sockeye market, which of course already has a bunch of holdover in the freezers anyway that the processors are sitting on, you know, while they're waiting to see what this run does, is the global exchange rate. You know, we have a situation where the U.S. dollar is really strong. That makes it far more expensive for the European customers to buy our sockeye and other Alaska seafood. That's hugely coming into play. The size of the fish, you know, how much is going to end up in cans? Because the smaller fillets, are a tougher sell. So there's so many things, you know, the Fraser River, you know, so all these factors are just buffeting the whole buyer's market in the wind.
That was Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Stay with me.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
When the Bristol Bay salmon run didn't start materializing as expected earlier in the season, some processors started letting employees go. We aired some of the employees' grievances on this program last week. Today, Nelson San Juan, a seafood employment specialist for the Alaska Department of Labor, tells us some processors are calling him, looking for more staff.
What happened this year is that there was a forecast. They were saying that they're expecting a high return of fish this year. So they are ready for that. They are geared up for that. They hired a lot of people for that. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, the fish did not show up when they were expecting them to show up. For the first few weeks, when they brought the employees from all over, from Anchorage, all over Alaska, or from everywhere, they realized that, you know, they don't need that much workers.
Now that the fish have shown up, some processors need more help.
Like some of the employers will call me and say, hey, I need 15 workers, or I need additional 5 workers. Some of them actually didn't call me. They're okay, you know, because they are smart enough to keep all their workers, you know, and they did not let them go.
San Juan says that the late run in Bristol Bay and the staffing shortage has an effect on processors in other regions, too. Typically, when fishing in the bay winds down, some employees go on to other regions.
I just got a call from Seward employer this morning. We have a few employers there that are processing and they're needing some people. They are expecting those workers from Bristol Bay to come back. That's what they normally do every year, is that once the Bristol Bay season is over, employers from Kenai and Seward are hiring them directly.
Nelson says he's still looking for employees for bay processors and for other parts of the state. Stay with me. Despite the strong numbers, Nooshiegak Area Manager Tim Sands says the Wood River probably won't open up for fishing this summer.
I'm still reluctant to open the Wood River Special Harvest Area, even though we're past the 1.4 million. If we opened it, it would be for drift fishing, and with the limits, with the new escapement goals, with the stance the Nooshiegak Advisory Committee took on the Wood River Special Harvest Area, it just doesn't seem like that's something that we need to do this year.
Sands says there's also a biological concern for McClung River king salmon, and the department is managing for the upper end of the goal based on the State Board of Fisheries direction. In our Voices from the Fishery section, we've seen some set netters back in town who, for a variety of reasons, say the surge hasn't been so great for them. Rudy Colon is a combine set netter who says things on that west side beach are calming down.
I think most people are throwing in the towel. Yesterday when we were out there, it was pretty lonely, pretty quiet. Such a different scene from earlier.
Colon says there are multiple reasons people are hauling in their nets for good.
Numbers have just haven't been what they have been in past years, and frustrations of not being of having limits and not being able to sell the fish that you catch. So I think just a combination of the limits and just not enough fish out there.
In other fisheries news, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski pushed an amendment through the Senate Appropriations Committee Thursday that would require the FDA to require labeling on genetically engineered salmon. The FDA has not yet approved the salmon for market, which Murkowski says she's opposed to, but she says it looks like it's headed that way. She's no fan of the product being produced by Aqua Bounty, which she frequently refers to as Frankenfish.
It's a genetically engineered salmon that starts from a transgenic Atlantic salmon. It has genes from an ocean pout, which is an eel-like fish. They combine it with the genes of a Chinook salmon. What it's designed to do is to pr- uh, to produce this fish that will grow twice the size in half the time.
Murkowski took a moment to point out to her Senate colleagues the differences between genetically engineered salmon and the wild salmon that comes from Alaska's waters.
A fishery that is sustainably managed, that is high quality, the best quality in the world, that contributes to a strong economy with more than 63,000 direct jobs, contributes over $4.6 billion to our state's economy. Nearly 1 in 7 Alaskans are employed in this industry.
Murkowski's amendment to require FDA labeling of genetically engineered salmon, if approved, passed through the committee and will be attached to the bill for a later vote on the Senate floor. Finally, out on the Kuskokwim, KYUK's Ben Matheson says folks there, like here, are waiting for silvers to swim upstream. Over the weekend, he visited a dozen or so fish camps.
Well, we saw a variety of completion rates for subsistence. Some folks downriver close to the Nipusiak area were still very busy putting up fish. There was an opening the day prior, and folks were hanging fish up to dry. Folks were cutting up dry fish, and they were still very busy. Closer to Bethel, we observed a bit more of folks that are done, people that have put away a lot of reds, as we had a good and late red run this year. Many people are waiting for the silvers to come in. Those are expected in the next few weeks, and it's a bit of a relatively quiet time as folks are gearing up to hit those silvers.
This year, as in the recent past, king fishing was restricted due to a low forecast and low returns.
So the king salmon run is weaker than predicted this year. The average run is close to 250,000. The forecast was 96 to 163, and managers think it was weak even compared to what they forecast. They are optimistic, however, that they'll meet escapement goals.
Matheson says families looking to put up fish have focused more on chums and reds.
The chum salmon run and red salmon runs that follow the king salmon run almost directly are two different stories. The chums are on pace to be an historically low run. It's somewhere around the fifth lowest on record based on the results at the Bethel test fishery. And given those numbers, managers kept the river closed except for basically twice-week subsistence openings, Wednesdays and Saturdays. They say there's mounting evidence that the one escapement goal will not be reached for chum salmon on the Kuskokwim. The red salmon may be the saving grace of sorts for this summer. The reds came in late, they came in strong, and they came in high quality.
Kuskokwim management combined federal, state, and a tribal working group this summer.
Well, the Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission's been discussed in some capacity for years and years and years. It's really been discussed the last couple of years, and this summer it came into a formal working capacity. It's not quite co-management with a capital C, but what they're hoping to do and what they did do this summer was consult very regularly with state and federal managers. The feds managed the king salmon basically during the months of May and June, and so every week there were a contingent of three people from lower, middle, and almost upper river that met with managers on a weekly basis to discuss how things are going. With an item like this, I can't say there's a consensus. Some are happy, some are certainly not, but it's a moving target with co-management.
Matheson says co-management will likely continue next summer, probably with changes. Before we go, the other night we shared an email from a listener from Oregon named Angela, who is in love with a commercial fisherman on the bay that she cannot easily keep in touch with during the season. She was looking for some advice on how to handle her situation, and we put that out to you, our listeners. Well, one response came in from a woman named Terry, who describes herself as a fisherman's wife, sister, daughter, cousin, and niece. Terry says she has lots of experience being away from loved ones due to the unique lifestyle. She writes, "My cousins are also married to fishermen, and we recently created a Facebook group that we use to support one another, post fishing updates, and share ideas for how to cope while our loved ones are away. Although our Facebook group is private, we have all benefited from this outlet and highly suggest that other women create a similar space." Another wrote to us a piece of advice he heard given years ago out of the Fish and Game office. One of the summer seasonal workers fielded the call and told the caller, "Heck, sweetie, the run is good, your boyfriend is busy, Just go to Nordstrom's and spend some of his money. Everything will be okay. That's it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm your host, Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. I'm off to Fishtival this weekend. Hope to see you there, but you'll always find our coverage here on KDLG. Good night.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.